Welcome to the Holy Try Podcast with AY, Dan, and Ken.
All right, 3, 2, 1.
We're on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air live.
Now it's getting started. I guarantee you that.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, the Holy Triumvirate.
Welcome back, guys, to another edition of Holy Try Football Podcast, Part 2, Bowl Preview Special, Bowls 11 through 20. We're going to go over, rounding it off with the Military Bowl, Pitt Navy. So if you have any interest, check these out. And we'll wrap it up with your true locks of the week. It's me, AY, here coming to you from the beautiful state capital of Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. And to my west, D-Berg and Pitcher Whitman.
Same old, same old. Another set of bowl previews, another day.
Mm-hmm. Ken in northeast up in New York City. What's up, dude?
Good. It's a good time of the year again. Football's back after what? We had a 2.5 week absence?
Felt like too long. I didn't know what to do with that college football.
Craziness.
Yeah. We are recording this early as far as release. The release would be 4 or 5 days after recording just because of scheduling issues. Ken is going all over the place. But we just want to... It actually has no impact on this podcast.
The effect it has on the next two,
yes,
indirectly affect this podcast.
Yeah, we just wanted to break these pods up a little bit as far as releasing, and there's a lot to go over in one, so we thought we'd split them up. So this is recorded a little early. I don't think we're going to say anything that could change here, but you never know. So bear with us if you're listening and say PJ Fleck all of a sudden left Western Michigan.
To coach the Browns.
Yeah, Neil Montelolo flipped the script and actually took the BYU job. Or was offered it.
Yeah, before, after the... Yeah, I mean, yeah, any of that stuff is very awesome. Or after the Ohio game, Frank Solich said, you know what, I'm
going back to Nebraska.
They fire Mike Riley. I'm going back to Nebraska.
Maybe Matt Rhule will have interviewed somewhere. Who knows?
For the Penn State offensive coordinator job that just became vacant. After Georgia offered the job not to Cheney, but to Moorhead.
What? And I do want to apologize. When you're listening to this, Cheney will have probably made a move. We just don't know about right now.
We just don't know where he's currently stationed at helping people.
So probably in Cal-U. The four-day window he has... he moved. We just, at this time, don't know where. But Google it right now, Cheney, and you'll see where he went. Because it'll assuredly be somewhere. Maybe even Todd Graham will move. Who knows?
Yeah, I haven't talked about him in a while.
Oh, him and Rich Rod, two bros.
That's one way to put it.
Furthermore, though, guys, part two of the Bulls. Are you guys ready to get into this? Because I'm fired up. We got a lot of sweet games here.
Oh, definitely.
Definitely. Good deal. Starting off, Christmas Eve with the fam. Remember this game last year, how wild it was.
We can only hope it'll be matched.
The Popeyes Bahamas Bowl.
Oh, man.
Middle Tennessee versus Western Michigan. Noon on ESPN. Both teams should be fired up to go to this one. Jesus, you're going to freaking Bahamas.
To eat Popeyes chicken. Mm. Hope yes.
imagine Michigan. Something better.
No, you're right. The Broncos, 3.5 favorites here over Middle Tennessee State. Dan, your boy Fleck, he's going to win this game.
I think my boy PJ, to touch on the coaching carousel that he's really been absent from, he's just got to be like Pat Narduzzi, waiting for the right opportunity. And maybe that'll be Pitt in a year or two. And I think Middle Tennessee State is still scoring on Charlotte, dating back to my week 3 lock. The Charlotte 49ers lost a real cliffhanger. I'm rowing my boat, and I'm taking Western 31-27 in a tight one.
All right.
In a tight one.
Ken, what do you think?
I got to go with row the boat here as well. You can't go against a guy as crazy as PJ Fleck. He's going to jump out there and play with his players, I'm pretty sure. Right? You've seen that clip from preseason practice where he was covering their best receiver. I don't know how good of – or no, he burnt their best corner. I don't know how good of a thing that is to have their best cornerback get burnt by a 40-year-old coach, but he's crazy. I love the way his team plays, and I love that they take on his personality. He's just going to take him out there, and they're going to run through a brick wall for him, unlike their counterparts to the East, who cannot break down a brick wall with sledgehammers. his players will run through the wall. I like Western Michigan here to cover. They're going to win 28-21.
Good picks. I have no real lean here. I just want to mention Brent Stocksill, the coach's son, the freshman from Middle Tennessee State, the Blue Raiders.
Pretty good.
Heck of a year, man. Heck of a year. This guy is very good at football, and I hope he gets some, you know, it's a little bit more recognition as his career grows. Obviously a freshman still, unknown at a small school, but this guy is legit. I do like what he brings to the table. I have no real lean here, and my notes are fairly bland for this. I just gave a check mark next to Fleck because we know of him. I guess it's an information bias here, and I know more about Western Michigan, so therefore I feel like I should pick them. But give me Stocksill here, guys. Give me the father-son duo.
Wow.
I mean, a Merry Christmas. The family's all around. Give me them to beat Fleck. I want to say in a push here, but I can't. 28-24, Middle Tennessee State wins.
Ah.
I think it's going to be a pretty good game, though.
I like it.
20-24, I guess that's evidence of that. And the nightcap, Notre Dame won this game, 6 years ago?
Went ham on Colin Kaepernick.
Hey, that was a heck of a game, man. Golden Tate ran wild.
Golden Tate, man. That was some great talent on that team.
Yeah, we talked about this around the house. Jimmy Clausen owes so much to Michael Floyd and Golden Tate for making him an NFL quarterback.
Hey, he's still starting games. Not only...
Not for
he's
long.
He's still starting games.
Not for
That's
long.
That's what I'm saying. Like, teams see his potential in him, but really, he was just thrown to two NFL receivers.
Yeah, well, that. This guy, he started against the Seahawks twice this season. That's how good he is.
That's how good he is.
He didn't have a terrible game, though, last time out. The first time he did.
Well, the first time out he did.
he's
practiced against the Seahawks. He knows what's coming this year.
The Aztecs, San Diego State, taking on the Bearcats of Cincinnati. 8 p.m. ESPN, the spread here. Cincinnati -1.5. QB injuries are the story of this game. Maxwell Smith for San Diego State. Not sure if he's still out or not. And Gunnar Keel looks to be out for this game. So definitely a lot of unknowns here. Backup for the Bearcats, Hayden Moore. Proved he was pretty capable in that, was it the Memphis game? They scored a crap ton of points.
Yeah.
I mean, he did look good. And your teams are fired up here. I want to read a quote here from Tommy Tuberville. He said, unless you're playing for a national championship, what better place to spend the holidays than Hawaii? So, I mean, maybe that
point.
Enthusiasm will rub off on the coaching. I mean, on the players here. I like Cincinnati here. I know I locked up San Diego State last week. I thought Maxwell Smith would be a little better than it was. But I do like Hayden Moore and what he brings to the table. I think Cincinnati wins a good game here, 31-23. Bearcats bear down. Ken, what do you think?
Oh, yeah. I like that pick a lot. It hurts me to say it. I like that pick a lot. Hayden Moore, he's shown that he's very, very capable as a backup to Gunnar Keel. As you mentioned before, he's come being thrown into the fire and performed extremely well, breaking school records. Who knows what will happen now that he's being given time to prepare. San Diego State, good defensive team. They've got some good special teams as well. Got a very fast returner. A good running back in Pumphrey. But I really think that they've got a shot here. It hurts me to say it. I think they're going to fall just short, though, unfortunately, for Penn State's strength of schedule. I think they're going to lose by the narrowest of margins and cover. So I think Cincinnati is going to win here 31-30. San Diego State, a tough, hard-fought game.
All right. Dan, what do you think?
You guys think Tommy Tuberville, despite his comment about being in Hawaii, looks in the mirror every morning and says to himself, what am I doing with my life? He's coaching in Cincinnati, Ohio, and just he just looks miserable every time you see him on TV.
He's just like, how did I fuck it up?
How did this happen?
I should have won a national championship in 2003, and look at where I am now.
Yep. AY, you probably, you know, like you said, won't have to root against Gunnar Keel. The hate factor is still in play, though. Can you really need this for Penn State's 2016 strength of schedule, which will ultimately help Pitt's 2016 strength of schedule? I'm going with the Aztecs, 28-27.
The Aztecas.
Aztecas.
The Aztecnicians.
A pretty crazy number here. I just saw from a spokesperson from William Hill, one of the big sports books.
Not to be confused with Will Hill.
No. 90% of the money is on the Aztecs so far.
Interesting. Hmm.
So take that for what you want. I'm not sure who's betting this game.
Was the number a lot higher before? 1.5?
I don't even know. I don't have the opening in front of me. But I'm not sure how much of the public is betting this game 8 days in advance. I'd have to think it should sharp action, if anything. But very small. I would think small sample size. Who knows? That's a pretty big discrepancy.
For sure.
Take that for what it's worth.
Take it for what it's worth.
The day after Christmas, we get back to the bowl season. St. Petersburg Bowl, guys. Connecticut taking on Marshall, 11 a.m. on ESPN. This game is, let's see, Marshall, 4-point favorite. Another note from William Hill. 96% of the money is on the Thundering Herd here. Take that for what it's worth. Ken, are you with the money?
No, I'm not. I'm going to take UConn here, mostly for strength of schedule, since they played Temple when Temple played Penn State. So, UConn, Diaco, I know he's got a spot in your heart as well, AY.
Mm-hmm.
We'll take them to cover here, but they're going to fall 24-21.
Dan, what do you think?
I think this is another stupid game. I hate this matchup. I'm not saying anything else. I'll go Marshall
32-24. My only note for this game is UConn is the Missouri of the Northeast. By that, I mean just like blah. I kind of always feel like you pick against them, and they usually burn you. So just for that, and maybe with the Bob Diaco bias, UConn wins this brutal game where hopefully I'm just hungover and decide not to watch it. UConn wins this game 13-10.
Oh, dear. Sounds so awful.
For all our sakes, let's hope I'm wrong here.
For all our sakes, let's hope that the satellite feeds go out during this game.
Yeah, so maybe, you know, get up and do some things Christmas, post-Christmas Day. Maybe attack some shopping. I know Cam would like to do that in New York City with all those people around. Yeah. But you wonder about the is maybe till 2 o'clock for the Hyundai Sun Bowl.
Hyundai.
Washington State from El Paso, 2 PM, CBS, Gary McBurn on the call. Notre Dame was there a few years ago.
So was Pitt.
So it was.
And Miami was there a few years ago, and Ja'Cory Harris did not like the cold weather.
No, it's strange. You think it'd be warm in southern? What was it? Southern Texas,
Southwest. Yeah,
yeah, but
they got that desert climate. Bro.
Yeah, it's the desert climate. That's tough. There, and Tommy Reese won that game, didn't he?
Oh yeah. Well, Harrison Smith won it, but.
Harris is, I forgot. He's like a forgotten guy. He was an All-American, wasn't he? And he's playing in the NFL now with the Vikings.
He was very good, yeah.
But he's just like a guy nobody ever thinks of, like, prototypical white safety. You just never know about him.
When I think of seeing Dumb and Dumber, Lloyd driving that moped.
Harry!
Gets off. He says he traded that kid back in town, straight up. Get 60 miles per gallon, this hog. classic. So there's some Sun Bowl trivia, even though it's not. Washington State, 2.5-point favorite. Not sure what Don Best says here about Luke Falk, but Dan, any report on the Washington State quarterback
situation? Yeah, he looks to be back, but a little bit nicked up still, obviously from we have a concussion, right?
Yeah, I think his whole upper body hurt.
Yeah.
the dreaded upper body injury.
But what a year for the Leechinator, huh?
Yeah.
Miami.
Fighting back from that Portland State loss.
Back to relevance.
Yeah. Miami.
He's swindling big-time recruits out of people, too. He just got a 4-star wide receiver from Florida that was decommitted from Florida.
Wow. Seizing the day.
He is swindling some people.
Miami's season.
Geronimo.
Not so much. Yet only their second 8-win regular season since 2010.
Yeah, you think about this. If Al Golden had stayed, this would be his best season yet there, which is funny. So
he went 9-3 the 1 year.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, that was the year they started off, 6-0, 8-0, something like that. They beat Florida, and then Florida turned out to not be good. And
that was when
they got smoked by Louisville.
Won the national title?
Might have been the year Florida State beat NIU.
Ah.
No less, fresh off the quasi ass kicking of Pitt, Canes knock off the Leechinator in a rusty Luke Falk 35-31. And impress new head coach
Mark Richt.
Mark Richt.
Gonna go against this year. I don't like Miami now that they fired a Penn Stater. I got to go with the Leechinator, impressive team, and he's got some time to coach him up. Miami, you know, kind of headless. The previous coaching staff, nobody knows who's going to be retained. Nobody knows who's gonna not be. And, you know, they're kind of in no man's land. I think this is a team that's going to be not as prepared as the team that Leechinator has. And Falk being back, I like Washington State here to win. Let's go. High scoring as well. 38-24.
Can't believe you guys both went through your previews and did not mention a young Kaya.
Young Kaya.
A mid-coug Kaya now.
A mid-coug Kaya. My notes here say, I reference my notes a lot because I feel like I write down these clever little lines. They're not that clever, but Miami, my note says, last time here. Okay. We went over that. And for Washington State, is Falk going to be enough? Is he going to be healthy? Or is it going to be Peyton Bender? I think both guys are solid enough. I just can't get past Miami. All these bros traveling from South Florida.
Yeah.
They land and they can see their breath.
The fuck is this shit?
And I ain't trying to ball on this. but I think they keep it close. I think it's a good game. 38-35. Cougars over The mid-coug. Wazoo. Slight cover, slight win. The Leechinator's back, baby. 220. Whoa, what? Is this like a Pitt kickoff?
220? That's Pitt on ESPN News.
On the news.
On the news. On ESPN, Zaxby's Heart of Dallas Bowl. UW Washington taking on Southern Miss. Larry Eustace was there at some point.
Nobody knows where he is now. Nobody knows why his name is so relevant and everybody knows it. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. He's probably at some sorority party. 220 kick, Washington, Southern Miss. The Huskies are an 8.5-point favorite here. Whoa. Cam, what do you think?
Oof, I went with Southern Miss before, and they let me down. I think they've lost a little bit of steam. I'm getting off this train, not buying back on while the stock is low. I think Washington State is going to win, but I will stay on long enough on this train for them to cover. I like Washington to win here. Let's go something like 27-22.
So you got Washington winning, but not covering. All right, Dan, what do you think?
I'm not sure how Southern Miss could possibly only have one player on their injury report, according to Don Best, after literally half their team got hurt against Western Kentucky at some point.
Oh, my gosh, I forgot about that, yeah.
I'll take that as a minor miracle, I guess. Christmas miracle. Festivus miracle.
Because Don Best never lies.
Right, never lies. They don't miss a beat. UW, they're just a goofy team. Playing every opponent tough and close outside of Stanford. In total, this year is probably more impressive than Pee Wee's team last year, despite having two less regular season wins. I know we all were very low on UW, and it's kind of impressive they made it to a bowl game in this tough pack.
Yeah, I think it was a good coaching job by him, and he's got a real great running back there, a freshman running back they've got as well. Probably the second best freshman running back of the nation behind a running back out here. Forget his name. You check the highlights out, though. Gaskin, the running back out of Washington. He's pretty impressive. If you haven't seen him yet, he's really impressive for a freshman.
But I'm going to go there's not a good common opponent on either team's schedule to project how this one will go. But I'll take a shot in the dark and go 28-17 Huskies.
Okay. I got to take, let's see here. Yeah, Washington, they've been playing people tough, good teams besides Stanford. And they blew out, just previously mentioned, Washington State 45-10 last game. Definitely getting some love from Vegas for that. They did look a little more into that. They had three defensive touchdowns in that game. Tad bit misleading. Obviously crushed tournament battle. Southern Miss, they have a 4,000-yard passer, two 1,000-yard rushers, and a 1,000-yard receiver. And looking a little more into it, because I don't know, I actually no clue, but this line just was really weird to me. Vegas has an 8.5. Some of the Vegas cappers, some of the sharps, as they're called, have this at Washington at minus 2.5. So, and there's a 6-point window there between Vegas and the cappers. And let's start with the sharps here. We'll take Washington to win. Southern Miss to cover. Maybe Washington 30. Southern Miss 23. And we get to see more of the crew neck doctor on the field. Because he's out there the whole time. But just sissies running around there in Hattiesburg.
Indeedy.
The New Era Pinstripe Bowl. Notre Dame was there a few years ago. Indiana versus Duke, 3:30 on ABC from Yankee Stadium. Your line here, the Hoosiers, 2-point favorites. Ken, who you got here, in as you are the defending champion of this game?
Yes, Penn State was here as well. I'm looking forward to trying to find a hat, still one of those beanies. I'm going to have to go with my boys in cream, crimson and cream. Big Ten pride here. I think they're the first Big Ten team to play, actually, right? I know Pitt really wanted this spot. They're probably better off without it, because I think Indiana is a team that is very dangerous. You saw them play many, many tough teams, very, very close down the stretch, taking Michigan to double overtime, taking Ohio State right down to the stretch, losing by one touchdown. They were down by 5 to the Michigan State team with 5 minutes to go or something like that. Great team. Great offense. Defense, not so much. I think if Penn State had played them full strength with Sudfeld and Howard, they would have been in for a load of trouble. I think Pitt's going to win. I think Indiana's going to win here. Excuse me. Excuse me. I think Indiana's going to win here. Much to roommate Kevin's chagrin, they're going to win by 10 points. Let's go 41-31.
All righty then. Dan, pitch right ball.
Exciting offense versus not exciting offense in this one. And then I guess Duke offensive coordinator Scotty Montgomery will coach in this one before he heads off to ECU. Also, as you mentioned, I believe in part one, AY, no Jeremy Cash in this one. Like the Hoosiers to outgun Duke in the football installment, 37-29.
We all agree.
What can go wrong?
What can go wrong?
Indiana won their last two to get the 6-6, that offense. Any team with Xander Dimon somewhere on it
Xander
is okay by me.
Xander.
So, yeah, give me the Hoosiers. Hoosier up. The
Hoosier up.
Third best team in Indiana? Or are they second?
I think they are second.
Ooh. Or the first best.
Because they are they better than Ball State?
I think they're better than Ball State.
Or are they better than Purdue?
Purdue.
I think they're better than Purdue.
Questions we don't have the answer to. give me the Hoosiers here. 33-24. Duke doesn't want to be there. Their recent success has gotten to already. Sorry, Dukies. As we move on to the five...
Well, they haven't won a bowl game. Recent success, but have not won a bowl game.
They're not winning this year either.
Oh.
We just picked it, so... As we move on to the Camping World Independence Bowl, Tulsa, Virginia Tech from beautiful Shreveport, Louisiana. 5:45, that place is primed and ready for a double fisting.
Frank the Tank Swan Song.
Oh, that's so gross. Dan. You're the double fister of us.
Why is this team favored by two touchdowns against anyone? Brewer gonna brew.
13.5-point favorite. Who you got here, Dan?
Yeah. Michael Brewer gonna brew. Tulsa had a very wonky year. It took OU to the wire early in September, but really couldn't build from there. Beamer's going out a winner. But they do not cover. 24-21 Hokies.
Agreed! The 13.5, how the hell do they think Virginia Tech is scoring more than freaking 7 points over anybody? I don't understand.
Because of Michael Brewer, right?
Because of Michael Brewer. I don't like this line at all. I think Tulsa's gonna hang tough here. Virginia Tech's gonna, you know, pull away late here, step on the throat. They're going to go and blow their lead open from 3 to about 9. And they're going to win here 30-21.
Yeah, I don't know why this spread is 13.5, but that just makes me think Virginia Tech could win like 41-9 for some reason. Which is a score I don't like to think about.
No.
So many double fistings if that's the case.
Yeah.
There will be so many double fistings.
I can just picture Dan walking around the bar double fisting everywhere.
Oh, man. I had to have done that 50 times on Thanksgiving Eve. It was pretty awesome.
I think we're all agree again. Beamer gets carried off in a close game, 20-16. The Tulsa offense moves the ball a bit with Lucas and Garrett. But they settle for field goals. 20-16 Hokies. Double fisting.
Double fisting.
In Shreveport. We wrap things up on that Saturday. Beautiful Saturday. Shout out to our baseball league. We're having our winter meetings that Saturday, so we'll be locked into these. The Foster Farms Bowl from Santa Clara, California. Levi Stadium, home of the 49ers. Who should be the San Jose 49ers because it's so freaking far away from San Francisco. It pisses me off. That's another day. UCLA take on Nebraska, 9:15 on ESPN. The Bruins are 7-point favorites. This game just really...
This is a gross game.
I had no clue what to think here. Can anyone help me out?
This is a gross game. Mike Riley knows what to expect out of a team like UCLA. He's played them in his time out west. His team may not have their internal clocks ready, but he himself does. And I think his team will come out ready to play. That 5-7 record is not as bad as it looks. You know all the heartbreakers that they suffered this year. And I think Mike Riley finally got the team playing better down the stretch. They, if not for, what was it, 4 or 5 interceptions from Tommy Noarm, they had a great shot at upsetting that fantastic, legendary Iowa team. I like Nebraska here. I think they're going to win outright. I think Jim Mora's team, they're, you know, Jim Mora maybe iron up another job somewhere soon. Maybe not in this league. Maybe not in this level of football. I think his team is going to feel it. They're probably feeling they're, you know, in a pretty shitty ball against a definitely pretty shitty opponent. They've got a losing record. They're going to be pretty overconfident here. I like Nebraska here to spring the upset. They're going to win here. Let's go 32-28.
Dan, what do you think here?
Yeah, this reminds me a lot of Nebraska's bowl game against USC last year.
Yeah.
Just remember, UCLA, although your team underachieved this year, remember what it was like before Jim Mora got there? You had Rick Neuheisel and Carl Durrell. So just don't get too fired up. I don't know that they are, but just a friendly reminder. And Riley, man, he needs some sort of momentum to carry into next year.
I'm with Cam. Otherwise, it might be Solich coming back.
Yeah, quite possibly. I'll go with Cam, though. 27-24 Huskers.
My notes here say the game's out west and Armstrong versus Rosen. Rosen big. So for that, I like Nebraska. Because you're right. I mean, UCLA, like, what are they really playing for here, man? Like, 2 years in a row now, kind of national championship dreams, at least playoff dreams, at least Pac-12 title dreams. They just got beat by USC.
Pac-12 South.
They don't have that to hang their hat on. Who knows where they are? Now, Nebraska is 5-7, and Tommy Armstrong is there somehow. But I'm going to have one of these games per episode, and this week's, I have no idea why, but Nebraska wins. Yeah, let's go 27-24 again.
We all agree.
Agree! I still don't get that, but whatever. And we go to the 28th, two games left. Two games on this day. Let's skip to the second game here. The Quick Lane Bowl. Central Michigan versus Minnesota. Detroit. What? Ford Field, 5 p.m. ESPN2. This line here is the Golden Gophers. 5.5-point spread. Cam, Big Ten country, who you got?
I really don't know too much about Central Michigan. So I will side with Minnesota. They're a pretty ugly team, so I don't think they're going to win by that much, 5.5. I'll take them to win by 3, though. Let's go 27-24.
Dan, where are you on this one?
The artist formerly known as the Little Caesars Bowl. I don't know anything about Central Michigan other than their coach left last year to be Arkansas's offensive coordinator. Tough year for many as they transition to the Tracy Clays era and his voluptuous self. Theme of these last two games, building momentum, is in full effect for Tracy Clays. I like him to win, but not cover. 17-14, Minnesota.
With this game, I feel like is the one we know the least about. Well, maybe. Definitely not, but it's up there.
I think San Jose State, Georgia State, takes that title. But
yeah. I think Central Michigan wins this game.
The Chips.
Minnesota's had just a crazy year, ups and downs, the emotions all over the place. And they're going to Detroit. Maybe if this game was in like Phoenix, they'd be a little more fired up. Central Michigan, granted, they're playing in the home state, so they're not really going anywhere, but they're getting a chance at the Power 5 team here. Hey, they bring it. Win this game 22-17. And cover over the Golden Gophers.
How long until Central Michigan Stadium is known as Antonio Brown Stadium?
Oh my gosh.
He would love that.
Brickhead Stadium.
Brickhead Stadium.
Chippewa.
Brickhead Stadium at Antonio Brown Field.
Yeah. And we close out with the Military Bowl. December 28th. Deeper, are you going to that?
I'm still up in the air. Probably not, actually, based on my moving plans changing slightly.
Okay.
So I will probably not be in attendance.
Okay.
I will be viewing, however.
Well, Monday, December 28th, 2:30 on ESPN from Annapolis, Jack Stevens Field at Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. The Military Bowl presented by Northrop Grumman. Pittsburgh versus Navy, the Naval Academy, spearheaded by Keenan Reynolds. 3.5-point favorites here. Is that accurate still?
What, the spread?
3.5?
I believe so, yeah. It might be down to 3. I'm not sure, though. Or it could go back up with the Kenny Amatalo news.
Kenny Amatalo!
Kenny Amatalo! Good stuff. Two Notre Dame opponents, so I am pretty fired up to watch this game and see how they shake it out with each other. Dan, just to avoid Ken and I talking about something we really don't know much about, okay. Tell people what they need to hear.
All right. Well, everyone has definitely heard more than enough.
This is your last one of the year, preview-wise, so make it count.
All right, I'll give my best shot here. Everyone, yeah, has heard more than enough talk about Keenan Reynolds to know he is and has been the catalyst for Navy's triple option attack. But I might be taking a hard line here. Not sure that he's better than Justin Thomas. I'll throw that out there.
Pretty hard line.
That's a pretty hard line. outside of the Houston game, Navy's defense has been pretty stout this year, but that's undoubtedly aided by the team's 24th ranked average time of possession. Pitt, though, is 15th in average time of possession, so you can make the same case for their defense. Whoever wins that battle will certainly hold the upper hand. I think I've said that 9 times this year out of my 12 Pitt previews. Concerns regarding, as I mentioned, I believe in the first part, who will be calling plays on December 28th after the departure of Jim Chaney to Georgia, to question mark as of right now. Who knows where he will go next. And it could be Tyler Boyd's last go-around in a Pitt uniform, and I would hope that he'd have a big day to head off into the sunset or head into the NFL, however you want to look at it. Defense did not fare well in their first go-around against an option attack, and I expect them to struggle more often than not again, despite the extended prep time they've had. And I really think, you know, it's going to be a very similar trip to Annapolis that it was in 2013. I believe Navy won that game by a field goal. Pitt started out strong, kind of sputtered offensively in the second half. I'm going 24-20 Navy, uplifted by Ken Niumatalolo's decision to stay. Just too many questions. It comes back to that. Too many questions about replacing Jim Chaney's exceptional play calling.
Annapolis. That was well put. Dan, I'm going to agree with you.
Thank you.
So I feel like I haven't, as we've gone over this plenty of times, I have not had a beat on Pitt all year.
Yeah.
So look at that way. And who wants it more? As I've been asking myself, who wants it? You like that? That Kirk Cousins clip. Oh my gosh, I cannot get that.
You like that? Yes!
You like that?
That is top 5 favorite soundbite of all time.
A classic.
Maybe they'll play at home. I mean, they're not going anywhere, but for these guys, you know, I think they're fired up, especially for Keenan Reynolds, for Ken Niumatalolo staying in town. I just think they're going to be fired up for this Pitt. I can see them being like, rah, rah, rah. You know, like Grace, the character, the secretary in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Grace!
On the prank phone call with Ferris Bueller when she takes over for Ed. And she goes, she answers the phone for a minute, and she starts touching papers and goes, oh! Pitt might have that mindset. Just give me maybe 24-20. I can see. Pitt win this game, obviously. Close game, good game, yeah, but Pitt loses the Navy 24-20. Ken, what do you think?
Yeah, I gotta go with Ken here. Buoyed by his decision to stay. I mean, unless we gotta re-record this in a couple of days. barring any unforeseen circumstances, I think Navy here is going to win. Their offense is humming along here. You've got the best quarterback to run this offense in the era. That is the triple option from Paul Johnson to Nika Niumatalolo. This is he's been a 4-year starter and he's done a fantastic job. He's got absolute command of it. I think he won't let his team lose. He's going to will them to a 27-21 victory. That last drive was going to take 7 minutes, and they're going to go. They're going to go like 15 plays, all runs.
Meat grinder.
For the last 7 minutes. Meat grinder, almost to the level of what Michigan State did.
Oh, God. So we're all on Navy.
We're all on Navy. What can go wrong?
What could go wrong? Well, for Dan, nothing could go wrong. He could be right, or Pitt could win.
That is true.
The perfect hedge.
The perfect
hedge. Well, Navy could win by one, though.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So in that case, that would be doubly worse.
Doomsday.
That would be the worst thing that could ever happen.
Doomsday scenario.
Dan could be right on two sides, or just terribly wrong and just upset about how close it was.
And take a double fist in the nuts.
Classic. What could go wrong?
I think it's about time of the week to get to the locks of the week.
Lock of the week.
You better lock it up. You better lock it up.
No, you lock it up.
You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up.
Holy Try Troll here with your true. I'm just throwing shade at his way now. I'll buy him a beer when I see him.
Yeah.
He deserves one.
Yep. Yeah.
He went what?
Wazoo. He went Wazoo. Yeah.
Scan over here, Dan. Not on the board. It's a little weird here.
Yeah. I've kept my picks in secret. I'm going San Diego State here. Against the Riverboat Gambler. 28-27. Tight one, but close only counts in horseshoes. So.
Whoa. Okay.
Interesting.
Cantavious, what do you think?
Got to go with the obvious one here. Tulsa, cover it. The blandest of all lock picks. Not even. And Cam's going to be wrong, because Cam has gotten maybe one lock out of the last seven. Thanks to this hex that the Holy Tri Troll has put upon him.
Well, Cam, I see your blandness, and I raise you one. UConn, +4.
That's not bland. That's gross. that's so gross that it's not even bland anymore.
And if you remember, if you rewind about 15 minutes, you'll remember, I hope I'm too hungover to watch that game at 11. The blandest of bland, Bob Diaco. I've read Chris Felicis, and he will have the best hair at 11 a.m. after Christmas than anyone in America.
That is.
Will he be wearing a tight shirt?
Maybe Santa will bring him a youth large this year.
He might skip leg day. Upper body bias for sure.
Upper body bias for sure.
Well, there it is. That's only half of it, guys.
Feels like we've been doing this.
It is arduous. This is an arduous, arduous time of the year.
The one thing I can say for us and for the listeners is the next set will be, I would say, definitively smoother, because our familiarity with the teams is much higher. Minus, I'm trying to think, look at any games here that we might struggle with.
Aren't there always a couple that are after New Year's Day that are just...
Yeah, I thought, but the...
Like Beef of Brady's?
No, this year the only ones are on January 2nd. Those are all you know about.
And those are ugly. Those are Penn State games. Those are ugly.
Arkansas and Burt, my darling Hogs.
Yeah.
I guess the grossest game is definitely the Mountain West matchup.
Oh, yeah, the bonus game. Mountain West game, yeah.
It was so funny. It won't be part of their record in the parentheses.
Glad they clarified.
The record of the parentheses.
I'm sure it'll be a good game, though.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the funny thing is, you remember East Carolina played Florida last year in that bowl game? The running back shed his pants in the game. And then they played to open the season up. So the Florida people had to play East Carolina twice.
Right.
In basically the same year. Also, interesting thing. Michigan State is going to be playing in two 2015 Cotton Bowls.
That is interesting.
Because the Cotton Bowl was on January 1st this year, and the Cotton Bowl will be on December 31st this year.
Interesting. Well, just a little preview for that Mountain West game we're talking about. Just a heads up, if you want to do some homework, Wyoming played both those teams.
Ooh, the common opponent.
So
the AY theory.
I'm sure more than a couple other people that they played against each other as well.
I'm sure too, Ken.
As far as Wyoming goes, they played Washington State, they played New Mexico, Appalachian State, Air Force, Nevada, Boise State, Utah State, Colorado State, San Diego State. Wow, what a tough.
That is a gauntlet.
That is a gauntlet.
Wow, I never knew it was such a hard schedule. Mad respect to my friggin' Pokes.
Your darling Pokes.
That's nuts.
How's Rashard Higgins? Speaking of Colorado State, how's Rashard Higgins been doing this year?
I don't know.
Receiver, I feel like I haven't heard from him. What's that?
Receiver?
Yeah. I haven't heard from him since that quarterback went to the Saints and McElwain.
66 for 9,933. 8 touchdowns.
Still not a bad year, but it's not. What did he have last year? Like 1,700 yards?
Yeah, and I think he. Did he beat Big Bill in touchdowns?
Buffalo Bill.
Fuller had 15. I think Higgins had 17 last year. Going back to last year, Higgins had 1,750 yards to lead the nation, 96 catches, 17 touchdowns. Two more than Big Bill. One more than Amari Cooper.
Big Bill Fuller.
Fuller only had 1,094 yards last year.
Wow.
I feel like that's not a lot. Well, he only had 1,145 this year.
Yeah, that's pretty. In a 12-game, 13-game season, that's.
On 20 less catches. You know what they say, you go down one rabbit hole, you can keep going down more.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
That is all I have for this part two preview, guys. Anything else you want to touch on here?
Julie Johnston on the U.S. Women's National Team may be the hottest female athlete of all time.
I was waiting to see where we went with that, and now I can say we agree.
Girlfriend of Zach Ertz,
yeah,
a.k.a. Dave.
I'm not even big on blonde color hair, but this – I said this during the World Cup. The U.S. Women's National Team, this is the best-looking crop we've ever had.
Oh, for sure.
You got girls like Julie Johnston playing defense, and you got Alex Morgan. You got your Sydney LaRue's, your Kristen Presses.
Yeah.
Even Carly Lloyd, the best player in the world. Yeah.
Not too shabby. Yeah.
Easy. Rutgers girl.
A Rutgers girl.
Can
and an
girl.
Eagles fan. Go Birds, right?
Go Birds. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. How about my Jags, guys? Just scoring points.
Oh, my goodness. Blake Bortles with the 3.8 QBR. The ESPN quarterback rating. 3.8, and they scored 50
Should
points.
Should I start Denard Robinson this week?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah. Leapfrogging Yeldon late in the season.
Yeldon's hurt, too.
Yeah, he's got a little injury. I think it's MCL, maybe?
First of all, you're chasing Matt Hasselbeck and Brian Hoyer. I don't care how many games behind you are. There's always a shot if that's the case.
the end of the day, the Jags just.
And I think the entire Houston Texans offensive line is from like the school of the blind or something. They're going to start blocking each other. I think it's really bad. I mean that.
So they've got Kurt Roper, offensive line coach, coaching them, right?
Right. They're a mess. I mean the Patriots defense is above average, but holy smokes, that was hard to watch. So I saw somebody put a gif of Tony Apollo Creed's trainer, Tony Duke, in Rocky IV. Throw the damn towel. whatever he's getting killed in Rocky IV. Throw the damn towel, because that was Hoyer, man. He's probably still trying to get out of bed.
Jeez.
Jeez,
and hoops, right. Hoops rounding in.
Hoops rounding into shape. Is Robinson underrated?
Which James Robinson?
Yeah,
he has been the same. He's kind of taken a jump this year. I don't think he's underrated. He's just rated, not overrated, not underrated. He's just rated.
I didn't know they were playing China. You didn't mention that at all. Get my take.
I know. Yeah, Ken. Are you happy or sad? They just ruined Abby Wambach's send off.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
I
do have two things. The Warriors lost. And
yep.
That's we need to do a podcast on that. A bunch of items. Overrated, underrated, properly rated.
The Golden State Warriors, overrated or underrated?
It's going to be better than that. It's going to be like sushi.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All kinds of things. They got into it on a... Russell Cannell got into it for a few segments, and it was...
What about Pitt stealing two commits from Rutgers? Overrated or underrated?
Okay, we're doing non-football topics.
This isn't football-related. This is Rutgers-related.
Rutgers is not football. They don't play football up there.
Rutgers is life. Rutgers is life.
Rutgers is life.
This thing is officially going off the rails.
We're only at 52 minutes,
Rutgers,
though.
Rutgers in a ball game. Rutgers didn't make a ball game. This is unbelievable.
Their APR wasn't high enough.
Or Maryland.
Oh, no.
Kyle Flood should have helped more students.
At least every pod. I didn't get it in last pod.
Yeah, what's Maryland going to do? Continue to be ass? Just continue to be ass?
They're going to try to not have their commits stolen by Pitt.
That was quite the scene on Twitter the other day. It was on Monday. I texted you guys. It's a two-star slug that probably will end up transferring to, like, Stony Brook.
They go wild over it. Were they loving it?
They were absolutely loving it. They love the Pat signal.
The Pat signal. No, what's worse is the Rutgers comments about it. They're saying now that they've got the new regime change, you're going to see a couple of these two stars going out of the way, because they know that they have no shot of playing.
Oh, you know what we completely missed in news and notes? Rutgers related. Greg Schiano, Ohio State defensive coordinator.
Ah, yes. Yes, that's a great pickup. I think that's a real good pickup.
I put that on you, Ken.
Yeah, that's on you.
Me. I've been out of the loop for a while.
It's so on enough. Ken. Not it's on us. It's on Ken.
It's on Ken.
Should we make our...
we can make our Twitter avatar with it's on Ken.
It's on Ken.
It's on Ken. Double fist.
Double fisting.
Double fist. Who's James? Jim Franklin summons a chopper. Who's that? Was that about Kyler Murray?
Yes.
Can you imagine?
If I have to get a chance to call Jim, I do it.
Can you say Rob Bolden 2.0?
What do you do?
Can you say Rob Bolden 2.0 if they get Kyler Murray?
He's better than Rob Bolden.
I know.
What's his face though? We failed to mention as well. Oregon picking up their second consecutive grad transfer.
Dak.
Dak Prukop.
I liked Rubenstein's idea of referring to him as Dak.
Oh yeah, classic. Yeah. It's only right. We're losing one and we're gaining one.
Law of averages.
Law of averages. Law of averages.
Keeping it 100.
Hudded emoji. Hudded emoji.
Hudded emoji. Hudded emoji.
I'm done.
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to take this to 59 minutes so we can wrap up.
I'm gonna go read The Light Between Oceans. If you need a book to read, go read it.
Everybody, are you? Oh, weekend plans. We need to talk about weekend plans. Even though whenever people listen to this, it'll be after the weekend.
This past weekend, I watched. Yeah, I'm not.
Dan, can you edit it so that it goes? You put this part into the end of the last one.
Probably not.
Okay. Weekend plans, anyone?
Nope, don't have any.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christmas parties and Christmas shopping.
Ah, last minute Christmas shopping.
And then Stillers. Stillers Yonkers. Game of the week.
Game of the week. No Star Wars for you guys.
Possibly Sunday. Early matinee before the Steeler game.
Stiller.
Stiller. Alright, I'm done.
Alright, I'm done.
That's all we got.
You should cut it there like they do in Shutdown Fullcast.
They don't do the traditional close, that's for sure.
You wonder if there's more.
Every time.
Yeah, that's all I got. So, for me here, AY, beautiful state capital, Commonwealth, Pennsylvania. Happy holidays for D-Berg at West.
Good night, all.
And for Ken in New York City.
Happy holidays.
Thanks for listening, guys. Tell your friends. Check out part 3 later on this week.
Happy holidays.
Have a good one.
Happy holiday, happy holiday, while the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true. Happy holiday, happy holiday, may the calendar keep bringing happy holidays to you. Traffic noise affects you like a squeaky violin. Kick your cares down the stairs, come to Holiday Inn.
If you can't find someone who will set your heart awhirl, take your car and motor to the home of boy meets girl.
If you're laid up with a breakdown, throw away your vitamins.
Don't get worse.
Grab your nurse and come to Holiday Inn.
Happy holidays, while the merry bells are ringing, may your every wish come true. Happy holidays, may the calendar keep bringing happy holiday to you.
Happy holidays, happy holidays. While the merry bells keep ringing, may your every wish come true. Happy holidays, happy holidays. May the calendar keep ringing happy holidays.